Today on Piano Jazz, we honor Dave Brubeck, who celebrated his 90th birthday this month. Dave rose to prominence in the 1950s while touring college campuses with his quartet, featuring alto player Paul Desmond. And since then, many of his tunes have become jazz standards. This program with Marion McPartland was recorded before a live audience in Washington, D.C. in 1997.
Tell me about some of the new records and new stuff that you've done.
Well, we've just recorded here at the National Cathedral in Washington my mass called To Hope, and that's out on Telarc Records.
Yeah, I've got that at home. But now you've got something else, a solo album? Just You, Just Me, it's called?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
You forget what you give. He's got so many. And then you've got this other one, which I just started listening to. Young Lions
and Old Tigers. Yeah.
Well, you should be in there with the Young Lions. I mean, that's a misnomer, really.
I'm in there. I'm with everybody.
That's amazing. Some of those people on that record, Joe Lovano and Roy Hargrove. And
George Shearing.
Well, he's an old lion. I mean.
Yeah. Oh, is he? And Jerry Mulligan. In fact, it's the last recording Jerry ever did before he passed away. And John Hendricks.
Yeah, he sang How High the Moon.
Yeah, James Moody. And then the young kids like Joshua Redman, Christian McBride, and on and on.
Well, how do you feel playing with all these different people? Is it easy to like play behind them or fit in with what they're doing? Do you find it very easy?
It was extremely interesting and not too hard, because these kids are such great musicians that are coming up today, and they have such a knowledge of jazz. They go back to the beginning, and they are going to be the ones that take it ahead. I have so much respect for these kids that I've just recorded with.
Well, it's great. So you really think there's plenty of hope for jazz in the future?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we could sit here and talk about other musicians, but let's talk about us.
Oh,
in particular, you. I would really love to play something, or have you play something from that solo album. This is interesting to me. You said it's the first solo album you've made in 40 years.
Yeah.
And it's as good or better than that one. I've got that one that you did all those years ago.
Yeah.
But would you like to have a try at Just You, Just Me?
Well, that's the name of the album. Just You, Just Me.
It's a good tune.
Yeah.
I think I know it. Want to try?
Oh, yeah.
You want to start and I'll just fall in somewhere. Still sort of have, when you're playing, do you still have all those creative juices flowing? And now I don't have to ask, because it's obvious that you do. Yeah, you know, one thing I've always loved about your playing, in fact, actually I have to quote Joe Morello, because he said to me years ago that what he admired so much about you was you always came to the job ready to play, and you were always going to do something different. You weren't going to play any cliche or do the same kind of thing you've done the night before. And that's really true. Like, I have the record of that tune, and that's nothing like what you just did.
I have a bad memory.
No, anyway, well, you've answered that question for me. Maybe I can. I'd love to ask you to do a solo on a tune that you've written. This also is on the solo album, and it's a very beautiful tune. It's called Thank You. What is all that about?
That's the original title, Dziękuję. And in Polish, that means thank you. And we were on tour, and they say we were the first group to go behind the Iron Curtain in 1958. We did 12 concerts in Poland. And that day earlier, I had been to Chopin's house and seen his pianos. There were three of them in the house, a statue of him that was in the square. And on the train later, I had to go to another city to play the concert. I kept thinking of Chopin-esque kind of melodies and harmonies. And that night, after the concert was over, I said to myself, I'll just take a chance and play this Chopin-esque theme. And there was a few seconds of silence, and I thought, oh, I've ruined the whole tour. They don't like this at all. And then the place really accepted it.
It fell apart.
Oh, yeah. And it was very emotional because you don't realize how important jazz is to the world until you get to countries where they're not allowed to listen to it. And behind the Iron Curtain, there were many countries we played where the audience was so willing to get into jazz, and they say in those countries that it's the voice of freedom. You used to come right out of Washington here with Willis Conover,
sure.
Voice of America. And you know, he did more for this country and the idea of what America is about. And it's a shame when the country doesn't realize how important the jazz idiom is to the people of the world that want freedom. It brings freedom to these countries more than almost anything we can do.
It's funny, isn't it? And it's something that is, that's in the air. I mean, it's like an intangible thing, and it affects everybody. Like, there's no language barrier. You could sort of drop down in some Ukrainian village, and you could play jazz, and they would understand it. It's really amazing. Well, please play this thing. It's
okay.
So pretty. I'm dying. What? And it's called Thank You.
Yeah. Okay. And it's really a dedication to Chopin. But you know, Chopin, I think, is apparent in many jazz musicians, from Art Tatum on.
That's true.
Yeah. So he's very important.
To all of us. Is sort of important in my life too. I think I think it's the first tune I ever really caught onto. My mother used to play Chopin from the music, nocturnes and waltzes. I think the first one I ever heard her do was this one. I'll only do a little bit, don't worry.
Oh, my mother played that
So I heard that, and that's what really got me started, getting up on the bench and thinking I would, well, it wasn't a bench, it was one of those stools, thinking I would try and do that. And that, you know, then I had that down, and then I started to get this one, you see. I'm in the wrong key. And so on. So gradually, yeah. Then I learned all the nursery rhymes in school. Then I became a ham, which I still am. But anyway, I was going to ask you, that is such a lovely piece, but do you write every day? You write something every day?
Usually, yeah. On the airplane coming here, I was writing all the way.
What were you writing, or is it a secret?
I was writing a tune called Marion McPartland.
Well, there's not too many notes in that. There's a few. I thought I would try and write one with some of the letters in your name, but I didn't get it done in time.
You know, Marion, I was thinking about this tune. I might try it.
Bartland?
Yeah.
You might try it?
Yeah,
well, try
using
it.
Your name. But I've never played it before on the piano.
Well, that's no excuse. Piano Jazz broadcast. Tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Save America's Treasures, a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Parks Service, Department of the Interior, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.